Well, today we're going to talk about your ABCs, you know, apostasy, buffoonery, and corruption. You find all of it frequently in government, and sadly, you're finding it now in education and even the church.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got a bunch of stories in front of me that I want to share with you today, and they're all very important. And though on the surface they may not seem to be related, in many ways there is a common thread, and I think as we progress today, you're going to learn something. Things are not always the way they appear. For many people, and I observe social media, by the way, if you do any kind of social media, be really careful about the stuff you share. I've got people that they're friends of mine, people that I've known for a long time, that of late are being scammed. And what I mean by that is they're seeing these headlines like Leah Thomas to get all her medals back. It's fake news. And I see a bunch of other stories that deal with, you know, Robert De Niro. We're not doing a project with him. We're going to lose. All of these stories are fake, phony, and false. And so many of you see the headline, never bother to check out the source, and you pass on garbage. This is one of the tools of the left to make Christians look like idiots, to look like irresponsible people that are clueless about the things of the world. If you are on social media, do not share anything that you are not 100% sure is accurate. And also, I'm going to give you one more thing never to share on Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you see anybody that says copy and paste this to your timeline, never, I mean never, ever, 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 never, never, ever copy and paste anything to your timeline. You want to know why? But Bob, it talked about, do you support veterans? Oh, do you support puppies or what? It doesn't matter. Number one, a lot of the stuff like, the new meta rules go into effect. I saw it on Channel 13 TV today. So what you need to do is post this on your timeline. I hereby tell Meta to blah, blah, blah. Garbage. Just fake, phony garbage. And people pass along this idiocy every day. And they believe it. All I got to do is copy and paste it. All my friends will reappear and I won't see all these ads. Or that new Meta Owl thing will vanish off my phone. It's all garbage. It's all a big fat lie. And people are too, pardon me for being blunt, stupid to think it through. Or too lazy to check it out. You cannot alter Facebook's terms of service by something you post or copy and paste to your timeline. Stop thinking you can. And if you see it, tell your friends, stop it. Every copy and paste, I guarantee you, is either a hoax or a scam. Or, even worse, some of those nice-sounding ones about veterans or depression. They, believe it or not, and you may not understand this, but I've figured this out. These are gateways for bad actors to get into your friends list and impersonate you and create cloned accounts and know all of your hidden friends, even if you don't publish your friends, because, see, you put that out there for all to see, and now we can figure out who's following you. Many of these good-sounding ones will have carefully placed misspelled words and special phrases. And anybody that knows how to do a search can find everybody that shared that copy and paste and begin to do some evil things. Copy and paste, never, ever. Don't do it, no matter how good it sounds. You're being scammed, and you're opening up your friends to a world of hurt. And be careful about these news stories that you share. Like I say, I have people that I like. They're nice people. They mean well. And they're getting snookered into passing along phony garbage. And understand, it's not so much that it's phony garbage. It's the reason they want people, particularly conservatives, to pass it along, because they know they're gullible. They know they're gullible. Every story that I share with you, I do my best to make sure that it is accurate, it is correct, and I'm not getting snookered. In my almost 4 years of doing this program, only once did I get nailed. Somebody sent me a video, and what I didn't realize was the most clever little bit of editing to that video. And it was late in the day, and I was late getting the program put together, and I shared the little audio clip from that video. But later that night, as the program aired, something just didn't feel right, and I decided to go back and look carefully. And I discovered, much to my chagrin, that somebody had diabolically edited the video with a little cutaway scene so you didn't see that they removed a word, which altered everything. And I found the original unedited video where the camera just stays on the, and this is from a good source. And I'm realizing I've been had, and man, it broke my heart that night. I didn't sleep where I couldn't sleep, I'm telling you. It really bothered me. And so the first thing I did in the program the next day is to apologize profusely that I got snookered and vowed I would never let this happen to me again. And so far, it hasn't, because I see a story. I may want to believe it, and this is part of the problem with so many well-meaning people. They want to believe the story is true. And so they just share it blindly, not realizing that they are making total, complete fools of themselves. Now, why would anybody want to put out a fake story like that for you to share? Because they are the ones, how do I put this? They are trying to discredit Christians and conservatives. And so they put this stuff out there to discredit you, to minimize your voice, to make you feel foolish so you shut up and obey. Understand, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I use it to get an idea of the pulse of what's going on in the world today. I've used it to connect to people I haven't been able to connect to in ages. That's a good thing. But I recognize that social media inherently is operated, controlled, and owned, and funded, and established by some of the most evil, despicable people on the face of the earth. Meta, which is the parent or the new name for Facebook's parent company, is an evil entity to the core. And I think it has satanic overtones. So I'm cautious. I use it as a tool, and I don't live my life through it. I don't share much personally on my Facebook page. Most of my stuff is pretty benign. By design. I don't want to be a target on Facebook. I don't do much with Facebook, even for the radio program. I do very little, except posting the church service and some announcements on Facebook for the church that I pastor. And my personal, yeah, I've got a lot of friends, you know, a couple thousand, something like that. I can't keep track. But I'm very benign. I don't get engaged in a lot of stuff. I've just learned to leave things alone and avoid the temptation of jumping into everything. Because all you're doing is feeding the beast and arguing. You're not going to change anybody's mind on Facebook. Just get with the program. You're not. We as Christians are in this world, but not of it. We need to begin to think in those terms. There's a friend of mine. He wrote a little article, and I'm just going to share a few little highlights. And he was talking about something that I think too many people, Christians in particular and conservatives, are just refusing to understand. And if you don't understand certain things, you're going to end up being a victim. And what he wrote is he is amazed at how the American electorate, you know, the voters, fall for the deceptive strategies that were developed by all the evil people over the centuries that are basically leftist and communist. You know, Bernay, Lippmann, Alinsky. And used today by the political public relations sector, especially during each election cycle like now. This year's no exception. And, you know, he says it's going to be no exception, that it's going to be worse this year than ever before. In essence, the objective is to achieve victory. And things like integrity and truth and adherence to facts, any of that are inconsequential. The ultimate game is to manipulate a sufficient number of voters for the purpose of acquiring power and influence. It's all demonic. The guy, Edward Bernays, has been referred to as the father of public relations. He played a big role in the development of what really is nothing more than political propaganda in the early 20th century. He was instrumental in developing, you know, propaganda as a tool for manipulation. Working on political campaigns, he helped create some of the most iconic propaganda in the 20th century, including the promotion of the United States' involvement in World War I and the demonization of communism during the Cold War. Now, you would say, well, what's wrong with demonizing communism? Nothing. But to what end? And in this case, the end was the military-industrial complex that kept upsetting the balance of power around the world to keep everything unstable as we kept building more and more weaponry and moved into the concept of MAD, mutually assured destruction, and kept spending more and more money. We always had the communist boogeyman, the domino effect. You heard it all before. And I've reminded you, since World War II, the United States has absolutely not won any wars. None, period. Not since 1945. We didn't win Korea. We didn't win Vietnam. We didn't win anything. We're done. We didn't win Afghanistan. We didn't win Iraq. Nothing. But we spend trillions of dollars just upsetting the world. Bernays had coined a term called engineering of consent. Now, that describes the process of using propaganda and psychological manipulation to influence your opinion. He believed that understanding the psychology of the masses, politicians could effectively shape public opinion and control the political narrative. Now, I'm going to pause here. I am convinced, and I've read a number of articles on this, and it's taken me a while to come to a solid feeling. Facebook did not happen by some college student in a dorm in a garage. Other attempts at social media had been done prior that were taking off and growing. Remember MySpace and things like it? I really believe, and I may not have 100% proof of this, there is some proof out there, and I've read enough to be convinced it is most likely, if I was a gambling man, which I'm not, but if I was, I would bet on it. Pretty sure. When Facebook came along, and Twitter, those two items came along roughly in the same time frame. And what has really hit me about them is the speed of their growth. How did they catch on so big, so phenomenal? And how did they get so much influence so quickly? Where did the real money come from to make them happen? Now, I've read several stories from people, and I tend to believe it. Did the CIA in our government have anything at all to do with Facebook? I really believe they did. I believe that they promoted and pushed. There are a lot of people in this world, in this country in particular, that are very wealthy for playing ball with the globalists, the elites, the CIA, and certain government entities. They're well rewarded. And I have no doubt in that. I mean, you look at the people like Alvin Bragg in New York don't become multimillionaires because of their legal expertise. Nobody pays somebody like Alvin Bragg $10,000 an hour like Google did. When you listen to the guy talk, he's not a legal scholar. He's actually pretty pathetic. Not really that great. In any normal circumstance, had he not been selected and groomed by the elites, he'd be living somewhere in Queens or Brooklyn chasing ambulances for money to sue people for, you know, whiplash. I'm serious. I've listened to the man talk. He is no legal scholar. I don't say that I am, but I listen to him talk, and all I'm hearing is buffoonery coming out of his mouth. He didn't concoct these charges that they with Trump. He was just a figurehead owned, bought, and paid for by George Soros, Google, and the globalist. That's why Alvin Bragg is worth 40-some-odd million dollars in New York real estate. Paid for buffoonery services that nobody really needed. But now they own him. And once you are bought and paid for, you also recognize you have to play ball or else. And when the time was right, and Alvin had his money, and they had their clutches and their hold over his head, they said, you're going to be taking a pay cut to be the DA of New York, and we will reward you handsomely. And so, the way elections are done in New York City, it's like right after school ends when nobody votes, so just a few thousand people show up, you can turn an election in New York City, and Alvin Braggadocious becomes the DA. A Soros man, bought and paid for. Campaign paid for by Soros. The number three guy from the Justice Department is sent up there to take a pay cut to go work in Manhattan. Why? It's all politics. They want to win at all cost. And so the narrative is created to make Donald Trump, whether you believe it or not, and whether you like him or not, is irrelevant. They created crimes that didn't exist. This is so Stalinistic. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. You had other people over these years, a guy by the name of Howard Lippmann. He was attracted to socialism before he converted to what we call progressivism. Another pioneer political consultant and strategist who basically developed the idea of deceptive political marketing. And he established the way politics are played out in campaigns to this day. He developed the negative campaign tactic, which involved attacking an opponent's character or record rather than promoting your own qualification. And that approach can be highly effective in swaying public opinion and is a staple of modern day political campaigns. You know, you may not know this, by the way. Political advertising is really not regulated in terms of its content. The one thing you have to do is say that my name is, you know, John Smith and I approve this message. Okay, that's fine. You have to do that. But you can lie. You can totally lie in the ad and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Not the FCC, not the nobody. It's freedom of political speech. You can lie about anything. And so you can create the illusion that your opponent is now a convicted felon on the most nonsensical charges ever invented by the mind of man. And I share this, by the way, again. Notice the people being used by the political elites to go after Donald Trump. Three of the scuzziest and sleaziest lawyers on the planet, actually, when you take in the guy from the Justice Department, about four, and then with Fannie Willis, she bought in her lover. Buffoons, reprobates, idiots, bought and paid for. They got the goods on these people. Jack Smith was so bad that he has been overturned by the Supreme Court 9-0 on things. They sent him off to The Hague to get him out of their hair. But they bought him back just in time for this stupidity, because nobody with a real clean conscience would do this unless there's lots of money involved. We are living in a corrupt time. By the way, Lippman, who I was just talking about, Howard Lippman, also devised something that a lot of people don't understand how it is used to manipulate their thinking. It's called the push poll. A push poll has no desire to ever, and I've seen some come to me. They're not trying to find out what you think. They're trying to tell you what to think. It is a deceptive polling technique designed to influence your behavior. They don't care about what you believe. They don't care about accurate information. They use misleading or fake questions to sway your opinion about a candidate or any issue. The idea, and then we create these wedge issues to divide us. And this is one thing. We are being divided more and more and more each and every year. We are more polarized now than I can ever remember in my life. And I'll be 70 this year. I'm thinking 50 years ago. Yeah, we had politics, but I never cared about anybody's politics 50 years ago. I was conservative, yes, and I've always voted that way. That's just the nature of who I am. But in all my work years, whether I was on the radio, working behind the scenes, or in engineering, I never discussed anybody's politics. Nobody cared. It wasn't that big of a deal. People just wanted to live their life in freedom. Saul Alinsky had 13 rules, and I've got just a little time here to share this before the break. And by the way, I've got some stories that are going to make you just, I hope it doesn't anger you too much or raise your blood pressure. But if you need to settle down during the break in a couple of minutes to do that, I would advise it. And these stories will continue into tomorrow too, by the way, but so Alinsky came, Saul Alinsky, he was a communist agitator, wrote The Rules for Radical, a book that he dedicated to Satan. And it's a set of tactics designed to empower special interest and activist movements while shifting the power dynamics in the society in which you live. Rule number one, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. This rule emphasizes the importance of perception in gaining power. If you think your enemy has got a huge nuclear arsenal, you may be a little bit hesitant to attack. Number two, never go outside of the experience of your people. It is crucial to relate to your audience and their experiences. Conservatives, pay attention. You often get played, as I said in the beginning of the program, by fake news stories designed to anger you, get your interest, and you share it, and then you believe it. You're being made a fool. And they're going to your experience when they do it. Whenever possible, then go outside of the experience of your enemy. Exploit your opponent's weaknesses by introducing unfamiliar situations to give them, make them afraid. Make the enemy live up to their own book of rules and hold your opponents to their own standards, exposing their hypocrisy. Democrats do it all the time. Well, this person's not perfect. That person did this. That person did that. They never want to talk about what they did. It's always what the other side did. Ridicule is one of your most potent weapons. Humor and satire can diminish your opponent's credibility. Let me say that again. Humor and satire can diminish your opponent's credibility. Number six, another tactic. Engage your supporters with tactics that resonate, that get them motivated to take out their checkbook or whatever else. Both sides play that game. Democrats say they're going to steal a woman's right to choose, and they're going to make you have a baby. And they run around talking about abortion. They raise money. Both sides do it. Open your eyes to see it. Another tactic that drags, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Keep your tactics fresh and engaged to maintain momentum. When you just keep beating the same dead horse over and over again for too long, take it right to the max and then drop it and move on. I think we'll be seeing that this year in a few. I'll talk about that maybe tomorrow or the next day. Keep the pressure on with new tactics. Adapt your approach to keep your opponent off balance. Number 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Fear and uncertainty to your advantage. Think COVID-19. The infectious death rate was claimed to be some astronomical number that never existed. Nowhere near it. And for those that are new listeners, I worked in emergency management during the early days of the pandemic in a county where I was told to plan for 3,000 excessive deaths before the summer. Did 3,000 people die before the end of, you know, before July? No. Allegedly, 53 people died, not 3,000, 53. And of the 53, most of them in the hospital, most of them over the age of 75, some in their 80s. But the fear worked. People ran around with face diapers, walking one way in grocery stores and every other stupid thing you could think of, believing the lie. And that pandemic was used for political gain. People, and we've had it on this program several times, people that literally died. They literally died in the hospital because of protocols. I'll be talking to somebody in just a few minutes about that. If you push a negative hard enough, it'll push through and become a positive. Yep, that's rule number 10. Change the narrative by relentlessly pushing a negative image of your opponent. Oh, that's going to be, you're going to see nothing but that between now and November here in the United States. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Offer a viable solution to the problems you create and criticize. Pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it, focus on a specific target, and make it the face of the issue. And number 13, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Close the loop by reinforcing the perception of power. That's how politics is played today in America. It really is. Right now, we need to take a break. If you're a new listener, I'm going to tell you about our website. It's called Truth to Ponder. And you find the address at truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. You can find out about this program, its purpose, prior episodes, who I am, places you can listen. You can also leave prayer requests. There's a place on the website for prayer requests. And you can also support this ministry if God leads you to do so. We give the mailing address at the website, and we also give you a link to a wonderful organization called GiveSendGo that we use for those that would rather give securely online. But if you still want to use the United States mail or Canadian mail, wherever you are, our mailing address is pretty simple. Any check or money orders made payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee. C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowee, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowee is 24319. That number again is 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Lots for the Promised Land coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In Joshua 14, first verses, it's written that the promised land was apportioned. The territories were given to each one. It says by the lot of their inheritance. Now your translation might read by the hand of their inheritance, but actually it says the lot, the casting of lots. Joshua 18 describes Joshua himself casting the lots. Lots were used on the holiest days of the year, Yom Kippur. And also in the Feast of Purim means the Feast of Lots. So they inherited the Promised Land through the casting of lots. Now, lots are a picture of something happening like by chance, almost like the rolling of the dice. Now, you look at the world and the way things happen, it seems sometimes like that's what's happening. You look at your life and you wonder what's going on. It seems like it's just happening by chance. Things are just happening. I don't see the purpose. I don't see God's purpose moving ahead. But remember then the lots of the Promised Land. You see, it was through the casting of lots they received their inheritance. Same with you. What's happening with your life? Does it have purpose? Yes. If you're following God, everything in your life, even things that look random, they don't look like make any sense, they will be moving and working together in God to bring about God's promises of your calling to fullness, to joy, to blessings, his riches. You just keep walking, moving forward, keep pressing on. You don't have to understand everything. You just keep loving God and being faithful. Know that everything in your life, like even the casting of lots, the rolling of everything that doesn't seem to make any sense in God's love, as you follow, is going to lead you to your inheritance, a blessing as a child of God in the land of milk and honey. Want more? Ask for the Purim, which is a feast, a Hebrew feast, and the word for lots. Now, feeling like your walk with God can use a real spiritual boost? Got the answer. A free subscription to Sapphires. Use as directed. Warning, it can revolutionize your walk for victory. And also, the Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, free. Yours free. How do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real name, and you dial it. So, to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. 1-800, toll-free, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to minister with me two of the most exciting ministries to beam the word of the gospel around the planet by shortwave radio. It's amazing to tribe and tongues all around the world and to Israel, the Jewish people, to get them the gospel. So how do you do it? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip is 07644. That's the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah HaDerech, the way.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Tomorrow, I plan on having a guest. She is a survivor, barely, of the hospital protocols used for COVID. And she'll be sharing her story on tomorrow's program. I think it's something you need to hear. We've had several people that either have lost a loved one or, in this case, survived. And I'll share that tomorrow. It's a story that we cannot let slip away. Don't ever let those that misuse this pandemic, whether it's Dr. Fauci and others, they need to be held accountable. And we must not let them say, well, we made mistakes, let's move on. No, they knowingly did much of what they did, and it's time for accountability. A couple of other things in the background. Sometime, I hope this week, a lot of the equipment I use that I've owned for a long time, computers and what have you, and electronics, some of it's getting a little bit long in the tooth. I'll be replacing it this week. I'm realizing just how many years old some of this stuff is, and I've been having some technical problems, and it makes doing the program a little bit more difficult. So over the past few months, I've been gradually getting this little piece and that little piece, and I'm trying to get it all put together. Hopefully it'll improve the quality of this radio program and make it a little quicker to produce each and every day. So keep in your prayers. Health-wise, I'm feeling fairly good in these recent days. Not perfect, but getting better, a little bit stronger each and every day. And so your prayers during this time when I've been dealing with bladder cancer, and so far the prognosis is good. Just keep me in your prayers each and every day, and I thoroughly appreciate it. Well, as we get into this segment today, and we'll be doing a lot of these stories, I don't want to anger you and raise your blood pressure. I know that it does it with mine. But I share some of these stories just to remind you of this never-ending, incessant attack to wear you down, to break you down, to anger you and discourage you. And even in Christian circles, Christians get where they just want to retreat and hide. And I understand it. I feel it all the time. One of the tools of the enemy, and when I'm saying the enemy, I'm not talking political, I'm not talking national, I'm talking spiritual. I am talking from the depths of hell. That enemy. The enemy from hell is a more potent enemy than sometimes you realize. One of the most deceptive, can parade as an angel of light, and many believe the falsehoods. Many a church denomination has self-destructed in recent decades because they've allowed apostasy into their church. They've decided that they can vote about Christian doctrine, that somehow the church is merely a democracy. If your church acts like a democracy and they can gather to vote on doctrine, that's not a church. It's not a church at all. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. And nothing you can say, do, or vote will change that. But if you believe you can, you have ceased being a church and your lampstand is gone. And one of the most divisive issues in recent years has been the LGBTQ stuff. Some churches have thoroughly embraced it and believe it's wonderful and should be promoted, along with transgenderism. And these apostate Satan-worshipping churches are fakes, phonies, and frauds. They're dead bodies in fine vestments with stained glass windows. And our government in Washington, the freak show that is the White House, they push this. Oh, I'm so sick and tired. Yeah, I've got my rosary in my pocket. I'm a good this, that, and the other. I'm sick of it. Everything that comes out of your mouth is trash. Everything that comes out of your mouth, Mr. Biden, is in opposition to what you claim to believe. Your own words betray you. I saw a story. Comes out of Orlando, Florida. The American flag was apparently removed and replaced with a gay pride flag inside the VA Medical Center, the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Orlando. And the video of the flag was posted on social media. The public affairs officer at the center has not yet responded to the whereabouts of Old Glory. The video also shows a sign posted asking veterans to provide their preferred pronouns. And another sign that used that sickening term, love wins. There's no love involved. Lust is winning. That's what it is. And so Old Glory, there at the information desk, has been replaced by a rainbow trans flag. By the way, that's actually illegal to do, but, you know, this administration, they won't touch it. They'll let it go. In some good news, I know here in the United States, the United Methodist Church has literally committed spiritual suicide in throwing out their Book of Discipline by the end of this year and thoroughly embracing the gay agenda, the LGBTQ plus S, whatever. They keep adding stuff to it. Two-spirit, all of this nonsense. This is every satanic, demonic, pagan god just being rolled into this one powerful group. And within the United Methodist Church, those that stayed thinking that they could still fix it, a lot left for a group that, I hate to say it if you're United Methodist and even a member of the Global Methodist, but I'm going to warn you as a pastor and a bishop from my own church body. Let me warn you about something. A lot of the same leaven, as the Bible calls it, the same leaven that bought the United Methodist Church to the point of what they did in the beginning of May in their vote to thoroughly embrace this evil as a part of who they are. The same leaven that got them there exists to a degree, though not much, but it's there. It is there in the new global Methodist movement. And I wonder how many years or maybe a decade before it brings this stuff up again. Satan's not going to let you just walk away. He's going to find a way to get in there to do his damage again. And I think of the poor churches that are now, you know, they thought they had their window of opportunity to get out, go independent, go with the other group, do something. By the end of last year, oh, but my grandma gave that window that has that symbol on it, and I just can't let it go. Or we helped pay for the organ, or we bought the hymnals, and we can't. Those things don't save you, my friend. And now there are churches. A lot of churches are thrilled with what happened. I could think of churches that I know of that think this is the best thing to be so pro-gay. Let's get some more lesbian pastors. You know, we need them. We have to have more lesbians in the pulpit. I mean, this is what God wants. It's, you know, love conquers. It's all nonsense. It's all pagan. And now these churches that didn't leave could lose their building if they decide they want to leave. But you want to know something? What's the Bible say about this kind of apostasy? Get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm sorry, if you are in a church that still has the sign United Methodist and you didn't leave, and if you think somehow your church is going to be a safe place, you are deceived. You are in for a rude awakening. This has been tried before, and you will fail. They now own your property. You signed it away. Their bishops hold control over you and your congregation. And when they decide that that lesbian pastor with her rainbow stole will be taking over your church, you'll have no say. You didn't act when you had the chance. And now there's a price to be paid. And I really pray a lot. I mean, I'm in small town Virginia with my little church. And maybe there are some of those that were in the United Methodist Church in my neck of the woods that may say, I can't be there anymore, Bob. Well, welcome to Trinity Chapel, where I'm pastor. Be happy to talk to you and receive you into a church that still holds to God's word. And you'll kind of recognize and feel familiar with some of what we do. But we never have let go of the infallibility of God's word in our church. Just sharing that with you. Pray about it. And if you live somewhere else, talk to me and I'll help you. You can use the website, truth2ponder.com. And the contact form, it just comes to me anyway, so we can communicate. Saw another, and I was going to say the good news. A million-member regional body in Africa has now left the United Methodist Church over this issue. And I'm so glad that they finally, you know, that this group in West Africa voted to leave after the denomination's decision to remove any rules blessing or doing same-sex unions and ordination of people in romantic same-sex relationships or marriages. In other words, all that's gone from the Book of Discipline. With about a million members, this conference was the largest regional body within the worldwide denomination, and I'm glad that they left. Like I say, if you're still in that church body, you better rethink what you're doing. Saw another couple of stories, and this one, I want you to listen carefully to me. The word apostasy, and you hear me use it a lot, comes from a Greek word apostasia, which literally means, in the context of Scripture, a departure or falling away. In other words, it refers to those who professed Christ or claimed to for a long time and have just simply renounced their faith. There was a megachurch pastor, and many of these megachurches, I get a bad feeling. Not all of them, but there are many that bother me. Many community churches that I've been to that are disturbing to me because too much of the music and the theology and the teaching and the light show and the smoke machine is all about me and my feelings and how I feel today. Too much of today's contemporary music doesn't even mention the name of Christ. It's all about me and how I feel. I want to feel good about me. Me, me, and love, love, and me. More about me. Former megachurch pastor, his name is Dave Gass, he renounced his faith on Twitter and Instagram earlier this year. He goes, after 40 years of being a devout follower and 20 years of being an evangelical pastor, I'm walking away. Christianity is stupid. He's done. And a lot of these people that were just doing basically pep talks and feel-good meetings are in the same boat. There was another pastor. He kind of held what was called the purity culture. His name is Joshua Harris. He followed suit and he's renounced his faith. And now he apologizes and thoroughly accepts the LGBTQ community. Harris announced that he no longer believed and no intention of believing of the God of the Bible anymore. And now he marches in gay pride parades. A few years ago, one of the popular Hillsong songwriters, Marty Sampson, announced his apostasy, citing science as now his main belief, and therefore he's walked away from God. He's become a pagan. Other worship leaders and pastors have come out in full support of sexual immorality, whether it be the lead singer of DC Talk or what have you and others and that won their Dove Awards. It's happening everywhere. Post from all these people enjoying the pride festivals. The church is in trouble. The United States Air Force has now become a den of debauchery. You see that Judicial Watch received 25 pages of records regarding drag shows, drag story hours, and pride events for military personnel and their dependent minor children, all paid for by the U.S. Air Force, meaning your tax dollars. At the end of this past month, a press release indicated they were obtained after a year almost of waiting, over a year. It took a year. They didn't want people to know the truth. See, these reprobates do not want you to know the truth. They try to drag it out. They just try to drag it out. And you know, we don't want you to know. We want to live in our rainbow flag. We want to celebrate sin, and we want you to fund it and pay for it. The United States Army, same thing. United States Department of Education is now promoting Pride Month, and it's just the beginning of the birth pangs of God's wrath, in my opinion. I'm not trying to be some kind of a prophet here, but here's something that's undeniable. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is clear that when people reject God and embrace idolatry, paganism, the love of sin, God's judgment and wrath will inevitably follow. It may not be the great tribulation, but boy, it could be a time of horrible tribulation. Think the flood. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Why did they have to wander? They were disobedient. The U.S. Department of Education is now endorsing, promoting, and even celebrating sexual immorality. According, this is an actual tweet, if you want to call it that, on X. Every student should feel safe attending schools in America, free from discrimination and valued for who they are. That means we welcome and encourage a safe learning environment for every LGBTQI+ student and ensuring educators have resources to support LGBTQI+ young people. Now, understand. Their definition of student, we're not talking a 16 or 17-year-old. We're talking a 5-year-old. They really want to push this on 5 and 6-year-olds. The U.S. Department of Education has become an enterprise of hell. Owned and operated by hell. Sorry, it has. This nonsense about feeling safe promotes this false sense of security for those that want to rebel against God. They may feel affirmed by the culture supported by an evil world, but they're not safe from the impending wrath of God. Get this through your mind. Safety cannot be found in the approval of a morally bankrupt society and a morally and spiritually bankrupt government. The only safety you can find is in the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance. And that is what shields you from the penalty of sin. Look at how God, for example, deals with Israel for worshiping false gods. You can look in Jeremiah 7. They built high places in the valley of the son of Hinnom to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which God did not command. And this warning against, this is how bad it gets. When you fall into the deception of Satan, even the children of Israel burned their sons and daughters in a fire like sacrifice. You know, Moloch worship is sacrificing infants. Sounds like abortion to me. And this warning against idolatry and moral corruption is just as relevant today. We sacrifice children on the altar's convenience and, you know, to kill them or just put them into the bondage of sexual immorality under the guise of rights and open-mindedness and freedom. And the narrative of Sodom and Gomorrah goes without saying, God's ultimate judgment will come. And God's wrath is not limited to idolaters. He's enraged with those who compromise with the world and not just embrace it, but just tolerates it. Never speaks out. Never, you know, it's like, well, we don't care. We're not going to worry about it. We're not going to talk to the government about that. We're just going to learn to get along. And, you know, and this guy believes in what I believe about when it comes to financial matters. So I'll vote for him and I'll just ignore the fact that he's pro-gay, pro-this, pro-this on our children. You can't do it. Do you follow God or do you follow Baal? Choose who you will serve is not just a challenge to ancient Christianity. It's a challenge to you and I today. The Bible warns that God will judge the unbelieving world. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This inversion of morality is precisely what we are seeing today in our culture, in our White House, in our government, in many states. You got Oregon. If you're a parent of a young girl and you don't like the idea of some 6'3", 180-pound boy playing in girls' sports, well, Oregon is going to come after you. You're the evildoer now. It's sickening. It's sickening what our government is becoming. And then you have these politicians. I'm deeply disappointed in the hateful actions of spectators that don't believe that boys can be girls. That's Suzanne Bonamici, Democrat from Oregon. Trans students deserve an equal. They're men with mental illness. Stop promoting it. Stop getting into your Ishtar worship. You know, the goddess that can turn a man to a woman and a woman into a man. This is recycled paganism, friends. When are you going to get with the program? This is evil. And then I saw a story as we enter this month of pride. FBI agents wearing their FBI shirts, you know, that big yellow, big. They're in a pride parade carrying their rainbow flag, rainbow trans flag. The FBI here in the United States, this is my opinion, you can disagree, you're welcome to, was run by a transvestite, an evil, very evil transvestite, totally immoral, reprobate, by the name of J. Edgar Hoover, who kept a dossier on every politician to control them and to keep his power. A sick and demented individual. They should tear that building down and rip that name off and forget that man ever lived. And they should fire everybody on the top floor of the Justice Department and pretty much disband the FBI and rebuild it as a credible organization. The FBI has sunk too low. They're used now to chase pro-lifers, parents that care about their children. And now they're promoting this immorality in the streets, wearing their uniforms, even carrying their sidearms in a pride parade. What does somebody's sexuality need to be on parade? This is evil, and our government is promoting it, demanding it, and they will force you to comply with it and bow down to it. This is pagan worship that you're being demanded to adhere to. And has your church been silent? Is your church, like the United Methodist, all for it? Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Presbyterian Church USA, Episcopal Church, yeah, they Episcopal Church and others, they've changed their logo to the rainbow, the trans rainbow. These are reprobate churches that God has condemned, and God will throw each and every one of them into, he'll tell them, I never knew you. Fakes and phonies, if you attend one of those churches, get out today. Do not go back this Sunday. Don't even go back. Just leave. Do not touch the unclean thing. How can I say this any louder? This demonic spirit of these ancient pagan gods, which were nothing more than demons to begin with, hordes from hell, fallen angels under the head Lucifer, angel, pretending to be gods and people believing it. The United States, even atheists are becoming paganistic. I hope that we get a little reprieve this year. And church, you better take advantage of what little time you get. Because if you don't, God's going to hold you accountable. There's a little window of opportunity, I believe, coming. And if you just sit in your little four walls and do nothing, God will hold you accountable. It is time to share the good news. It is time to get out there and let your voice be known. If you're in an apostate church, today is the day you leave. Not next week, not this Sunday, today. You decide today. If you don't know what to do after that, contact me. We'll talk. Yes, it's that important. And I don't care if grandma and grandpa gave the pews. I don't really care if they gave the land. It's now been consecrated to evil and demons. Get out of it. Get away from it. God is warning. You know, the ark's being built and it's starting to rain, folk. And these churches are mocking God, and God will not be mocked. Marilyn, your children, even in the first grade and kindergarten, have to endure LGBTQ indoctrination about sexuality, and the courts have ruled you can't stop it. Your kids have got to go through it. You can't say no. Our government is evil. It's now satanic. Satanic to the core. God is going to judge it. Where do you stand? Do you believe in this ministry? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. If you can support us financially, we could use your help immensely. You can support us from the website using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.